that we are walking in the Holy Spirit by faith, and that means that we are trusting Him to fill us, to transform us into the image of our Savior Jesus Christ, and to teach us. We're here this evening to learn and to feast upon the precious manna from heaven. We've already feasted upon the lasagna, and now we feast upon the bread of God. And so we need to be filled with the Spirit in order to do that. So let's just make sure we're trusting the Spirit today to teach us and to make the person of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, real to each one of us. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the Lord Jesus who loved us and gave himself for us so that we through him might have eternal life. I thank you that he is the truth, the life, and the way, and that the only way we can ever come to you is through him. Now, Father, I pray that your Spirit would make the person of Jesus real to each one of us. I pray that he would teach us this evening. And I pray that he would use the things that we're learning about Christ to transform us into the image of our Savior. In the name of Jesus I pray, amen. If someone would have told me that one day I would teach a series on the zodiac, I would say, and cows fly. But here we are. And to me, it's been one of the more enjoyable studies that I've done in a long time. I came real close to teaching this 3, 4, 5 years ago, and the Spirit just shut the door, and I didn't even think about it again, and all of a sudden there it was. And so I've been teaching it, and I have really enjoyed it. What we have in the 12 signs of the zodiac. Now, remember, what we have here are the signs of the zodiac. God put these signs in the heavens, and they tell a story. And they tell a story of the conflict between God and his hero, Jesus Christ, and Lucifer's hero, himself. And 12 is the number of perfect government, and that's what we have, 12 signs, and each sign our book has 3 chapters, 3 designs that tell us more about it. And I believe, and according to, it's interesting, the zodiac and the signs and so forth are recorded in by ancient Egyptian historians who, and some of them have translated Sumerian texts that predate the flood about the zodiac. And that's an interesting thing to me. Now, one of the things that always confused me is when people would talk about the zodiac and the signs and the constellations, and they'd say they're in the stars or in the heavens, I would go up and look and say, I don't see nothing that looks like that. And the reason is because there isn't. The constellations are there. But they don't look like that. And that's what makes it so phenomenal. Because we have in every civilization, every history of every civilization, we have the same 12 signs with the same 12 names, and they don't look alike. Now, in other words, I mean, there's just like Virgo, the Virgin. There's no way you can look at this constellation, this group of stars, and see a Virgin. Yet, I believe that as the Lord Jesus Christ walked with Adam and the woman in the garden, he pointed this out. And what do you have? This is the beginning. This is where our zodiac begins. with Virgo, the Virgin. And notice she has the branch representing Jesus Christ. She is the branch. She has the seeds in her hand. The seed falls to the ground. It dies. It germinates. It springs forth, giving forth life. And then we have the three deacons. First deacon is Koma, the child, the woman, and the child. And remember, Koma means the desired one. Jesus Christ is the desired one. And then it's kind of an oxymoron. Because then we have Centurius, and he is the despised one. Notice that he is part horse, part man. That's the hypostatic union, the unique person of the universe. He is the high priest. He is the one who offers the sacrifice. But then when we saw the victim, what is he? He is the sacrifice. That's why Jesus Christ is the unique priest. He not only offers the sacrifice, he is the sacrifice. He is our sacrifice for our sin. And then we saw the third, Butes. He's the third deacon in the first book, Virgo, and he's the coming one. And he comes as King of Kings and Lord of Lords at the second advent. He's the conqueror. And so we start all the way from Christ as the one who was born of a virgin, became the sacrifice for our sin, and now is in heaven, and one day will come back to the earth for us, good news, for the unbeliever, bad news. Now, we have a lot to cover, but at least I'll go quickly through Libra again, which is the scale. Speaking of redemption, Christ came to redeem us from the penalty of sin. So I'm just showing you this. See how it's very God-centered. And yet when I think of the Zodiac before this study, what do we think? We think of your horoscope, which is man-centered. So Lucifer has very cleverly taken something that God designed to show us the history of the universe before mankind. And he has moved it from being God-centered, everything about the defeat of himself, to being man-centered. And today, what have we done in society? And that's an editorial week. We have taken God and put him aside. And now we worship in the religion of humanism. The basic religion in our country today is humanism. The worship of self. The worship of man. And of women. Okay? As opposed to worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ, the God of the universe. Now, I want to move on to where we are today in our study. And we have looked at Scorpio, and now we're all the way over up here, and it's so hot. Here we go. Am I out of focus? Here we go. Aquarius, right here. Can you see Aquarius? You got him right here at, depends on how, if you have this particular chart, that would be at 9 o'clock, more or less. Okay? And so that's where we are today, is Aquarius. Now again, 12, number of profession, and Aquarius is probably one of the most interesting ones to me. Let's turn now to Isaiah 44. One of the things, hopefully, as when we finish studying the Zodiac, and we see so many references in Scripture, you'll say, oh, now I know where this fits with this, and oh, yeah, I see that. Boy, does that make sense. Look at Isaiah 44, verse 3. Now, I need to, maybe I could explain a little bit. In Virgo, in Aquarius represents the Lord Jesus Christ, the resurrected Christ. And the water represents the Holy Spirit, and the fish represents the church, the believer. Remember that we had the goat and the fish. The goat died, Capricorn died, that's the sacrifice of Christ, and then the fish resurrected, and from the resurrection of Christ, we have the church. Now, once again, here is this battle. And, you know, it kind of reminds me of, I don't like to bring in politics per se, but right now, Red China has, 350 missiles pointed toward Taiwan. And all the time, the Chinese, and they've been telling us for years, that we are their number one enemy and they are going to go to war with us. And in all of their training, they're claiming on going to war with us. And thanks to some things that they were able to buy, shall we say, on the black market, for their guidance systems and so forth, they're now developing missiles that will be able to hit us. And so in all of their training of their military, they are training to fight us. And what are we doing? Arming them. We don't believe them. We don't see it. Okay? Now, I just use that as an illustration. Warfare between God and Lucifer, God and Satan, and God gives Satan an entire plan of the battle, everything that's going to happen. And I believe he did it before Satan fell. And Satan is saying, nah. That'll never happen. Look, you don't revolt against the king unless you think you have a good shot of winning the revolution. Because if you lose, right? And so he revolts against the King of Kings, against the God of the universe. He has to think he can win. The arrogance of ignorance. And yet, everything that is going to happen is here. He just doesn't believe it. Even after it happens, he doesn't believe it. And that's why Paul said in Corinthians, we saw that in 1 Corinthians, if Lucifer would have recognized that Christ was going to die by his dying on the cross, it would be his defeat, he would have kept him off the cross. He just missed it. So you see the sense of humor. God says, oh, Lucifer, why, you're as smart as I am. You're worthy to be God. Well, here's everything that's going to happen. Let's see if you catch it. Lucifer, you haven't caught any of these. How is it that you're as smart as I and you've missed them? Now look at Isaiah 44, verse 3. I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. Who is water? He tells us, I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessings on your descendants. You and I are the fish. We are the offspring of Jesus Christ. The water represents the Holy Spirit, the blessing that proceeds out of the work of Christ on the cross. Now, this is Old Testament, correct? Isaiah, Old Testament. in the Old Testament, the church was a mystery. Correct? Now, in the Greek, see, mysterios means whodunit. Mysterios in the Greek means truth revealed to those who are the perfected. Alright? So, you read a book, a mystery, whodunit, and I like the ones where the last chapter you realize who did it. And then what can you do? If you went back and reread that book, why, you would see, well, of course it was this guy. Here's the clue. Here's the clue. Here's the clue. Here's the clue. Here's the guy I thought it was, but this proves that he didn't do it. You see what I mean? Now, the New Testament is the end of the book. The Holy Spirit's not the mystery in the New Testament. Jesus Christ is not the mystery, or the church is not the mystery in the New Testament. And so, when we understand the New Testament, we go back and now we can understand the Old Testament. The New Testament explains the Old Testament. So, do you see where people in Isaiah's day, they knew what the Spirit was? Thirsty? When you're thirsty, you drink. Thirst, a picture of faith. They understood that, but they didn't say, oh, this is a picture of the church. The what? Oh, the church, it's a mystery, something we don't know anything about. They didn't get it. But we do. See how the Holy Spirit wrote the book? They will spring up, verse 4, like grass in a meadow, like poplar trees by flowing streams. Poplar trees need lots of water. You and I are the poplar trees. We need lots of water. We need lots of water, the Holy Spirit. One will say, I belong to Jehovah. Another will call himself by the name of Jacob. Still another will write on his hand, the Lord. I belong to the Lord. And will take the name of Israel. This is what the Lord says. Israel's King and Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and the last. See, there's Revelation. I'm Alpha and Omega. Apart from me, there is no God. Who then is like me? Let him proclaim it. Do you see what the Zodiac says? I am God. Here's everything that's going to happen in the universe. If you're like me, you can proclaim it. In other words, if you're God, you will understand this and you can change it. Has it been changed? No, Lucifer can't change it. Therefore, what do we know? God is God, Lucifer's not. What, see, the lesson in the Old Testament, from God to us, I'm God, you're not. Lesson I have to learn every day, He's God, I'm not. So he says, verse 7 again, who then is like me? Let him proclaim it. Let him declare and lay out before me what has happened since I established my ancient people and what is yet to come. Yes, let him foretell what will come. Do not tremble, do not be afraid. Did I not proclaim this and foretell it long ago? When? In eternity past. You are my witnesses. Is there any God besides me? And the answer in the Hebrew is no. No, there is no other rock, Jesus Christ. I know of not one. All who make idols. Now this is, we're coming up, well, I'm going to move on. All who make idols are nothing. And the things they treasure are worthless. Remember, an idol is the work of your own hands. So I was going to show us something we're going to do next week, but it's it's getting close to 8 o'clock and we've just started. Okay? What is an idol? The work of your own hands. Do and do. How do most people believe they're going to go to heaven? By the work of their own hands. If I do good, God will save me. Well, how many goods? Well, more than most. You know, I look around and I measure myself and I see that, you know, most people are worse than I am. So if God grades on a curve, I'm at least average, so I'm in. So what am I doing? I'm an idol worshiper. I'm worshiping the product of my own hands. Instead of saying, wait a minute, I can't save myself. I can only be saved by faith in the one whom God sent to save me, Jesus Christ. Now, what do we have as believers? We have a lot of idol worshipers. They worship the product of their own hands. My goodness, I'm learning so much doctrine. Surely God will bless me. I am such a moral person. In fact, as I look out upon you, I see that I am much more moral than you are. Therefore, I'm so much better than you are. Therefore, God is going to bless me so much more than you. And I'm humble. Yes, I wanted to throw that in too. Not only am I moral, but I'm humble. It's hard to be humble when you're as great as I. Hopefully you can. See, what do? As soon as we go to morality as a means of spirituality, we have to judge others. Because we have to compare ourselves. How am I going to know if I'm good enough for God to bless? I have to compare myself with you. You have to compare yourself with me. God help you. Because if you're not any better than I am, you're way down there, bud. But you see how I... Worshiping the product of our own hands. If I keep the law, God will bless me. If I do certain works in Christian service, God will bless me. If I have an emotional experience, God will bless me. That's all idol worship. Instead of just trusting the one whom God sent to bless me. The Holy Spirit. See what this is? This is who comes from God, the Lord Jesus Christ, to bless us, the Holy Spirit. All, verse 9, all who make idols are nothing, and the things they treasure are worthless. Those who would speak up for them are blind. That may be a metaphor by the Holy Spirit. They are ignorant and to their own sin. We have to do it ourselves. Now, all I want you to see is, I probably read more than I really had time, but I want you to see that the water on the thirsty land is the Holy Spirit. You and I are the thirsty land. And his water is the Holy Spirit. Look at John chapter 7. About verse 37. Love this passage. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood. Remember the standing here of the stood, it's a perfect in the tense. It's so emphatic and it's, the emphasis is on the existing result of the promise of the Holy Spirit. Reality is right here. He stood and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, what? You're dry land. Dry and thirsty land. If you're thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Drink, always a picture of faith. How was I saved? I was saved by trusting Jesus Christ as my Savior. Now, he says, if you're thirsty, but he's talking about the Holy Spirit, come to me and drink. Faith. Whosoever believes in me, as the Scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. By this he meant the Spirit. So I'm glad that John added this to the power of the Spirit. Streams of living water. See, that could be eternal life. Is Jesus Christ living water? John 4? Yeah. But he's also, who else is living water? The Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit are just alike. Just different. That's all. Jesus Christ, God and the Father are just alike. Just different. John 14. Philip, have you seen me? You've seen the Father. We're just alike. We're just different. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who would believe in him were about to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus Christ had not yet been glorified. Aquarius is a picture of the glorification of Jesus Christ. Now the Spirit's given. Now here is Jesus speaking to people who understood the Zodiac. All the way from Adam, what we saw. What did we see? Adam died 130 years before the flood. Verbal history. It's in every civilization. All the ancient histories have them. And they have Aquarius, the glorified Christ, pouring out his Spirit. So when he says this in John 7, some people said, oh, if you understand the Zodiac, this would make more sense to you. See, now you can put it with Isaiah. Oh, yeah. Isaiah 44? Sure. Now I see what that means. Oh, yeah. Now I see what this means. Okay. So there's an introduction to Aquarius, the water bearer. So, here's what's happened. Jesus Christ has died on the cross. We saw it last week. Remember the arrow with our sin, Sakita, with our sins attached? Already gone through Aquila, speaking of Christ, and this is our sins are attached to the arrow of judgment from God. We saw in Colossians that on the cross, Christ paid for the debt written against us. We've already seen that. And now, our redemption has been secured. Every one of us, every book we've looked at, we've seen redemption and resurrection. Now, Christ is in heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father, and from his work on the cross comes blessing. And we always receive blessings from God by faith. First blessing we get because of the work of Christ on the cross, eternal life. Which, in my book, is a pretty good one. Because it means you're redeemed from the slave market of sin, from the power of Satan, so to speak, or the power of the penalty of sin. And it means you're redeemed from spending eternity in the lake of fire. You're going to spend eternity in heaven. So I call that's a pretty good deal. How do we get it? By simple faith in Christ. From the work of the cross come blessings to us. Colossians 2 says, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk ye in Him. How am I going to walk in the Spirit? Same way I receive Christ, by faith. Now, from the work of the Lord comes the blessing of the Holy Spirit. From His work on the cross comes the blessing of the Holy Spirit. And so, we're Pisces, we're the fish. Yep. Why did the early church choose fish? It's a symbol of believers. We're the recipients of the water. And the Holy Spirit is given to those who are redeemed. Where did the fish come from? From the work of Christ on the cross. How are we birthed? I don't think that's a word, but you got it? Because of the work of the Holy Spirit and our faith in Christ. We're born again. So the Redeemer's work on earth was sanctification or redemption. The Redeemer's work in heaven. So He had a work on earth, Redeemer. He has a work in heaven. His work in heaven is not only to pray, to make intercession, and so forth, but it is to pour out His Spirit upon us. And the Holy Spirit then redeems us from the power of sin. You know, if we want to see who was the greatest liar here tonight, I'd say, who doesn't have a problem with sin in their life? And we know that was either the greatest liar or the person furthest removed from reality. See? Who redeems us from the power of sin? The Holy Spirit. Who redeemed us from the penalty of sin? Jesus Christ. What kind of work did you have to do to be redeemed from the penalty of sin? None. If you add works, you don't get redemption. What kind of work do you have to do to be redeemed from the power of sin? None. You just trust the Holy Spirit. That's why John 6:29. Here's the work. Trust the one whom God sent. So, first, foremost blessing God has poured out upon us is His Son, Jesus Christ, and all other blessings come from and through Christ. All other blessings, so to speak, flow to us based upon the work of Christ on the cross. Let's look at another passage that foretells this. Look at Numbers chapter 24. You remember Numbers? Remember Balaam? Balaam, I think, is a unique person. He had a donkey that talked. I don't think his donkey's name was Francis. Numbers chapter 24. Let's just look at a couple of verses. Look at verse 6. Now, this is a prophecy from Balaam. He says, in verse 6, like valleys that stretch out, like gardens beside the river, like aloes planted by the Lord, like cedars beside the water, water shall flow from His bucket. What is this? This is the bucket. And what's flowing? Water. The Holy Spirit. And their seed will have abundant water. We're the seed of Jesus Christ. Remember? Here's Virgo. The Virgin, the seed is Christ. He falls, crucified, dies, buried, germinates, resurrected, and when the seed comes up, it has lots of fruit, lots of production. We are of the seed of Christ. And their seed will have abundant water. We have all of the water of the Holy Spirit we need. Balaam says that the offspring of the Lord will be water-related creatures. And he's making this prophecy that somehow or another their birthing will result from the pouring out of water. I think when you put Numbers 24 together with John 7, you should see some things that are very interesting. Two things I think that are absolutely necessary for life: light and water. Is that correct? You don't need light? If our earth, the sun goes out and we're in darkness, what do you mean? How long do you think we survive without any heat from the sun? A week? 2 weeks? Month? Year? 5 years? 10 years? Minutes? Water. How long can you go with that water? Didn't say, some of you bring what you say is water into the auditorium. We don't know what's really in there. But you know what? The water of the Holy Spirit brings joy. Oh. Yes. Tell us that. Now, but two things that we have to have: light and water. Light, Jesus Christ. Water, the Holy Spirit. Spiritual life is dependent upon two things: the light of the world, Jesus Christ, and the water of the Holy Spirit. Water gives life, water sustains life. The water of the Holy Spirit regenerates us, gives us birth at faith in Christ. And then the water of the Holy Spirit sustains us, gives us the abundant life. So in Aquarius, we have a picture of our Lord, not on the cross. He's not suffering for our sin, but he has finished his work on the cross. Now he is in heaven, and he sends to us or pours out upon us the Holy Spirit. So let's go back to John 16. Now, I think this is one thing that separates this study of the zodiac from probably the normal horoscope. I didn't read the horoscopes today. I forget to read them. But I bet John 16 is not mentioned in any of them. I bet there's not a single one that says, to understand your sign today, you need to go to John 16. I could be wrong. It's always the first. But you know what I tell you about somebody who's never been wrong? They haven't learned much. Okay, look at verse 5. Remember, this is the upper room discourse. Jesus says, now I am going to him who sent me. Who sent him? God the Father. John said, trust the one whom God sent. Whom did God send? Jesus Christ. Yet none of you ask, where are you going? Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth. Here's the gospel. This is the gospel of the Holy Spirit. Once I said there were two gospels and people gasped. There are two gospels. Gospel is good news. There is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel of the Holy Spirit. One is for the unbeliever. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you're going to be saved. The other is for the believer. We need to trust the Holy Spirit and He will transform you into the image of Christ. So I tell you the truth. It's for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the counselor, the helper, will not come to you. But if I go, and I'm going, I will send him to you. Now wait a minute. I thought God sent the Holy Spirit. Remember what he said in just verse 14, guys? Philip says, could you show us, God? Philip, have I been with you so long, you don't know me? You've seen me, you've seen the Father. We're one. Is that right? Yeah. So if Jesus Christ sends the Holy Spirit, who also sends him? God the Father. Is Jesus God? That's what this whole thing is about. The whole zodiac says Jesus is God. Look, remember Hercules? The hero? What's he doing? He's stamping on the dragon's head, crushing his head. All the way back to Genesis 3:16. Why do you think what Jesus showed Adam after the fall made so much sense? Because he already learned about it in the zodiac with the Lord in the garden. But I think it was just academic knowledge. Now, whoa, this concerns me. A more personal. So it's for your good. Because why? I'm going to send him to you. Verse 8, when he comes, he will convict. And the word literally means to bring to light or to illuminate the world of guilt. This is the guilt of missing the mark of God's perfect righteousness. You think probably somewhere along the line you thought, you know, I'm good enough to get into heaven on my own. You know why you changed your mind? God, the Holy Spirit, convicted you. He showed you. He illuminated in your life. Those areas where you stand. And you say, whoa, I'm not perfect. In regard to sin and righteousness, you missed the mark. In other words, God the Holy Spirit shows us that God's righteousness is what we need, that it's a gift, and we get it by faith in Christ. And judgment. Now, this is important. The judgment here is not what will happen to you if you don't accept Christ. The judgment here that you need to understand is that Christ was judged for your sins. Good news. Is this good news? You are going to hell. Good news? No. How about this? Let me rephrase that. Let me ask this question again. Is this good news? You are going to hell because you have sinned. No. That's not good news. Here's good news. Christ was judged for your sins. Is that good news? That's what the gospel means, good news. Christ is judged for your sins. I sinned. Yep. I'm not perfect. Yep. But Christ was judged for my sins. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Because men do not believe in me in regard to righteousness, because I'm going to the Father, where you can see me no longer, in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. Hey. You know what he's saying? I am so close to the cross. I am so close to the cross that the prince of this world, the snake, the serpent, the scorpion, he is judged. That's what he's saying. You can count on it, boys. Now he says, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. You see, the Holy Spirit takes the truth, Jesus Christ, and guides us into all truth, the gospel. Now here's a just a short verse. If I don't know if you underline anything in your Bible, but it's okay. It's okay. He will not. This is the Holy Spirit. He will not speak on his own. He will only speak what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me, Christ. It is very easy to be seduced. And instead of walking in the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit, trusting the Holy Spirit, and you have an appreciation of Christ, and you worship Christ, the counterfeit comes along, and through your emotions, you worship, quote unquote, the Holy Spirit. In a worship service where people are getting all emotional and the hero becomes the Holy Spirit, not the Holy Spirit that's doing that. But that's not his job. He doesn't glorify himself. Holy Spirit doesn't say, yay me! Yay me! He says, yay Jesus. You see the difference? Okay? So he says then, in the 13, he's going to speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. 14, he will bring glory to me by taking what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. In a little while, you will see me no more. Then after a little while, you will see me. Okay? And in a little while, you're going to see me no more. Now, when is that? After his death. They're not going to see him for 3 days. Right? Then they're going to see him after his resurrection. Then they're not going to see him. His ascension, right? Goes up to heaven. Remember Acts? And he's there, and then he just starts going up. You can just imagine slower than a life-size helium balloon. Floating up in the sky. And they're just all like, And the angel said, why are you guys standing here gapping? Gapping, you know, just there. Yes. Mm-hmm. Actually, Cape Canaveral. Now they were all just focused on Christ, and the angel said, but what did he say? He's going to come back.
Yeah.
When did they see him again? 10 o'clock. Because that's when they received the Spirit. Okay? They got it before the 10 o'clock, so they couldn't wait till then. But do you see what he's talking about? He's talking about the Holy Spirit. Now, back to our signs. We have a fish. It's an Aquarius. We have a fish. Pisces, he's the fish, represents the church. We have a large stream of water coming out. It's an unfailing supply, unlimited supply. That's grace. Grace. How hard is this fish working to get that water? All he has to do is open his mouth. Faith. Now where did that fish come from? You know where it came from? It came from the urn. He's in the urn. Fish came from the urn as a result of the work of Christ on the cross. The fish is us. It's the church. It's the bride. The bride comes from the work of Christ. That's where he comes from. Now, getting straight here, as I'm trying to look, says, boy, I don't know why I have such a hard time seeing. There's a very bright star on his left shoulder. Mm-hmm. Not under his head here, but right in there, kind of blurred there. I don't know if, let's see if this one might show it. A little better. For me, at any rate. Yeah, can you see it right here? No, it's over here on this side. Left over. There's a star right there, even if you can't see it, trust me, it is there. And it's called Sod Al-Thun. Right on his shoulder. Sod Al-Thun. And it means he who goes and returns. See, Christ went and he returns. And it also means he who pours out. Now, about the time of Christ, we move to the sign of Pisces, the fish, the church. What does everyone long for? Are they longing for Pisces? No. Remember the hippies? Aquarius. Right? I could sing the song. Okay? You know why they long for Aquarius? Because they hate Pisces. They hate the church. They hate the body of Christ. I think Christ prophesied of that. You know, tell the disciples, hey guys, you know what? They hated me and I hate y'all too. Aquarius means a time of peace, harmony, and joy. Now, the entire zodiac tells us over and over again that the time of peace, time of prosperity, the time of joy is only for those who know Christ. Only for those who know Jesus as Savior. For those who side with the serpent, they're going to share in his fate. Lake of fire. For those who side with Christ, they're going to share in his fate. They're going to reign with him. And so, everybody, you know, the world is talking, oh, we're longing for the age of Aquarius. There's going to be peace. There's going to be tranquility. Oh, it's going to be so wonderful. But they just forget, they just forget one small thing. And that's this. That the peace and the harmony and the joy that Aquarius speaks of is the fruit of the Spirit in the life of the believer. So do you see what the zodiac says? The zodiac says that you, as a believer in Christ, part of the church, in the church age, are going to be hated by the world. And you can have joy and peace and harmony. With whom do we have harmony? Or should have harmony? Who? God? Holy Spirit? Who else? Oh, one another. This is the new mandate, John 13, that you love one another as I have loved you. By this everyone will know you're my disciples if you love one another. Is that kind of harmony? I mean, you know, you think of love? Does that mean harmony? Yeah. Harmony. Now, go back. Stop going. We saw the goat, the dying goat, kneeling, helpless, on the cross. He dies. From him comes the rebirth, the resurrecting Christ. From Aquarius, then, this fish is poured out. Here he is now. That's the church. We share in the resurrected life of Christ. Because he lives, we live. The fish was born out of the goat of the sacrifice of Christ. The church, the fish, is sustained by the water that comes out of Christ, the Holy Spirit. And even though the Holy Spirit and Aquarius, the whole thing, is a sign of joy and of peace and of harmony, we only share that when we are drinking in the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, we're like the Beatles who sang about Aquarius and peace and harmony and the whole world and couldn't stay together. See? We are to continuously be trusting the Holy Spirit. Now, since we're born out of water, not out of, but out from the source of water, water regenerates us. What is our natural habitat? air, sand, beach. You know, little fishies are born, what's the first thing they do? Swim up on the beach, right? Get a suntan. The natural habitat of a fish is water. Isn't that where fish live? Where are fish the happiest? Water. You ever gone fishing? Take the fish out of the water. Put them on the bank. They'll hop. Jump. Gets excited. Has an emotional experience. Dies. He's out of his habitat. Finally, they'll jump, jump, jump. And pretty soon, they just kind of stop. And you can pick them up and put them in the water. And pretty soon, there's life. And they're gone if you don't leave them out too long. Look. We're born out from the source of water, the Holy Spirit. He regenerates us, Paul says in Titus. Therefore, our natural habitat is water. To be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's where we thrive. Can a fish live out of water? Yeah, they can. Not for long, but they can. Catfish can live a long time. Yeah, see? Got an amen. Do we live out of water? Yeah. Is it the abundant life? No. What are we doing? We start flopping? What are we doing? When we start flopping out of our element, out of the spirit, that's our frantic search for happiness. What's that fish doing, flopping? Frantic search for water. We say, we're thrashing about, I can be happy apart from the Holy Spirit. That's it. It's just that, you know, it's kind of like weaning your car from running on gasoline. By the time you get it weaned, it dies. Only when we get back to our natural environment of the water of the Holy Spirit can we be happy. And we get back there by simple faith. Now, I don't know why I thought we'd get all the way through this today, but that's as far as we're going to go. We will go next week. We will begin with the first Deacon in Aquarius, the southern fish. I think that's great. Not a Yankee fish. Southern fish. And we'll see that. How much water do you see being wasted here? None. We're going to go to a passage in James. You think of the Holy Spirit being poured out from Christ to you, none of it is wasted. See, being filled with the Holy Spirit, really? I drink out of a water fountain a lot of times. And you know what I like about, you know what I'm talking about, a water fountain? And you get all the water. Has that been your experience? No. Where does most of the water go? Down the drain. That's how many people think being filled with Spirit is drinking out of a water fountain. They're just trying to get some, get some splashes, and they got it. Most of it's gone. No. We have to be single-minded, single-focused, and when we are on the Holy Spirit, if none of it spills off, it doesn't go down the drain, it's all right in us. Okay? If you can imagine Jesus Christ from heaven saying, "Open up, I'll give you a drink," let me tell you, then this. That's the way we're to be. When we're walking in the Spirit, holy, focus on the stream of water in order to drink it. That's what our focus is. I thought our focus was supposed to be on Christ. Who shows us Christ? Holy Spirit. So, who do I need to look at? Holy Spirit. He shows me Christ. And then, where does Jesus take me? To the Father. You see how my relationship is with the Trinity. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. How do I get there? I drink in the Holy Spirit by faith. And He illuminates Jesus Christ to me and transforms me into the image of Christ. And then takes me to the Father. Christ takes me to the Father. You see that? Well, we will look at the southern fish next week and look at some of the Greek mythology that goes with it. What interests me about Greek mythology, much of it, a lot of it, is very close to truth. Okay? Just enough wise to confuse it. Who's the great counterfeiter? Satan. We're going to counterfeit $20 bills. We're probably going to make them green, aren't we? We're going to make them this big? Out of red crepe paper. No, it's got to look a lot like a 20. Is that correct? What is its value? 10 to 20. 10 to 20 years in a pokey. Okay. Greek mythology is the counterfeit of the true thing. It looks a lot like the real thing. What's its value? Zero. Okay. Any questions before we go home? Well, it was a good dinner tonight. Thank you. All right. Don't forget the ladies' luncheon Saturday at 11:30. I want to say Coco's. At Coco's. See, I remember those things. Okay? So, if you haven't thought about going to the ladies' luncheon Saturday, it's a good time if you're a lady. You can't go, John. Neither, John. Okay? Larry, you can't go either. Because you're not a lady. Okay? And if you were, never mind. But, but even if you wear your new dress, Larry, you can't go. It's a good time for the ladies to get together and have some fellowship, encouragement, get to know one another. I really encourage you to go. Father, thanks for the time we've had to come together and to worship you. I pray that you would take these things that I've tried to communicate today, make them real to each one of us. These things I pray in the name of Jesus our Savior. Amen.